You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Saver, better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when you turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
It's always next year. That's what they say in homeschooling. They always say, it's always next year. Yeah, that's a saying that I'll hear in the homeschool community a lot. And that's because we're always planning, screening curriculum, and purchasing, and doing new things. We always are trying to do great things for our learners. And so it's always next year because we're always planning. We're always thinking. We're always planning ahead and purchasing. So it's always next year. In a good way. And our guest today will help us with that and help us make our plans for that. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes. Hi, I'm Bethany Johnson. I'm the owner of Bold and Bright Academy and Bold and Bright Academy Online. I'm an educator and mom, and I'm super excited to be here with you today, Dr. Dawn.
I'm very happy you're here, too. Well, I would love it if you would start us out by telling us what you think homeschooling means.
Ooh. Homeschooling means giving your child a individualized education through a loving and nurturing environment, letting them thrive and learn in their own ways, building connection with the parents and the students, and kind of tailoring their education to their own needs.
That is a great, great definition. And so as you think about what homeschooling means, how can Bold and Bright Academy help families in their homeschool journey?
Oh, we are here to help. We offer our wide variety of on-demand classes. So if those are great, if you have multiple learners, for instance, if you're working with one of them and you need the other one to be learning while occupied, you can always throw on one of our classes. We have reading and math and science, but we also have dance and yoga and music and cooking. So there's lots of different options there. We have printable resources, printable curriculum. So we can help you out there. We have our live Zoom classes where your child can meet other students from around the world and be taught by a certified teacher in a small group setting. And then we also have our parent Facebook group. So you can always ask questions there. All of our teachers are always available if you need a meet and greet, if you need a conference to discuss your child's learning, or if you just need some help with anything going on in your homeschool journey. We also have parent classes. We have our happy homeschooler classes. So if you're not quite sure how to get started on homeschooling, that class will get you all set up with everything you need to know regarding laws and routines and everything in that aspect too. So we have a lot of resources for students ages 2 to 10 and parents.
Wonderful. Will you tell us, please, how we can become involved in the Bold and Bright Online? Since most of our listeners are working on homeschooling right now, they might want a good online resource.
Absolutely. You can visit boldandbrightacademyonline.com. There you can check out our classes. There's a free 30-minute on-demand class that you can try. You can set up a meet and greet with me or other child's teachers, or you can just register straight from the website. I also have a TikTok at Bold and Bright LV. We're on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook at Bold and Bright Academy, with lots of different samples and some parent resources on there as well.
Wonderful. That is wonderful. We're so glad. And I'd love it if you'd share with us the journey and how Bold and Bright Academy came to be.
Sure, yeah. I was teaching in the school district. I was teaching first and second grade and kind of struggling in the school district with the way it was working and just kind of really disappointed in our whole system. And I was homeschooled as a kid until eighth grade. And I went into school and I struggled, and I have ADHD myself. So that was kind of a hard learning environment for me in school. So I went into teaching because I wanted to help kids like me. And I had a lot of kids like me, but I didn't really feel like I was able to give them the time and attention and the curriculum that they needed in that setting. So I decided to leave and start my own program. I started with preschool out of my garage. So I did small group classes out of my garage. And then with the pandemic, I started an online program. And it started with just me teaching classes. And it's grown into a whole library of on-demand classes. We have over 16 different teachers teaching on-demand classes. And then as the years have gone, we added a kindergarten class and a primary pause class and all the parent costs and parent resources. So it's kind of definitely grown since we started from just a preschool to more of an online micro school. And we're always growing every year, trying to figure out how we can offer more resources and classes to our families. So it's grown a lot in the short time we've had it.
Wonderful. All right. Well, there's a saying in homeschool communities, it's always next year. And what that means mm-hmm. is that we're always planning. We're always purchasing curriculum. We're always thinking about the next level for our learners. And so I want to talk with you and help families who are right now planning to start their homeschool journey or start a new school year in their homeschool journey. What mm-hmm. advice would you give those families?
Find a community around you, whether that's online or locally. That's going to be really helpful, especially if you're just starting out and you might be feeling a little alone. You might be wondering, how do I do any of this? there's so many homeschoolers out there now, and it's such a wide variety of different kinds of homeschoolers. It used to be kind of more limited back when I was being homeschooled, and now the community has grown so much. So no matter what philosophy you go by, there's always a community that's been there and done it before. So I think that's the biggest thing. And kind of retraining, if you're just starting, kind of retraining your brain to get on the homeschool level instead of feeling like you need to do public school at your home. It's very different. So kind of finding your own groove and your own schedule and what works for your kid and for your family and for you is going to be huge in making sure you have a successful year. So once you find those communities, you know, you can, they all have lots of resources, and you can ask your questions and figure out what's going to be the best for you, because this doesn't have to be sitting at a kitchen table for 8 hours a day, cramming stuff in. That's not how homeschooling works, and that's the best part of it, is that you can learn through life. But definitely finding that community. Our parent classes are great because they're going to tell you all of the laws you need to know, because it varies by state. So really finding out what your state requires, and do you need evaluations? Do you need certain curriculums? It kind of varies by state. So making sure that you're up to date on your own state's laws, and then finding the right curriculum. And you don't need to reinvent the wheel. There's tons out there. We have, like I said, we have lots to offer in the curriculum area and the classes. And then just kind of finding your groove. What's your schedule going to be like? I definitely suggest keeping a schedule that works for you, and it doesn't have to be We do it in the, you know, in the morning at the same time every day, whatever works for you. Some parents work different hours and put it in, you know, when whatever works for your family. So just making it personalized to work for your family instead of trying to fit it in this rigid idea that you may have from your schooling experience before is really going to help. So I would say community, consistency, educating yourself on the different ways your learner may learn. You know, all of our kids learn differently. And it may take some trial and error, and that's okay. You're both learning. You're all learning in this experience. So getting your kids' input is, I think, crucial because this is their education too. And that's another plus of homeschooling is that your kid can have a say. So I would really take that say into account when you're deciding your curriculum and what they're interested in and their learning style. And making it a collaborative effort between you and your child, because that's the biggest plus to homeschooling is that you can really tailor it to their interests and their learning styles.
Those are all good words and wisdom, really. What wisdom do you have right now for parents who might feel they're not qualified, or they can't do this, or, you know, maybe they don't have an advanced education, you know, they don't have a teaching background or something like that, and yet they feel like they want to homeschool. Maybe their children need to be homeschooled. How would you encourage parents who think, oh, wow, I don't know if I could do this?
Well, like I said, there's so many communities and resources out there for you, and I would say the majority of parents who are doing this right now don't have a teaching degree. So you don't need that to give your kid a great homeschooling experience. There's so many resources out there for you. And like I said, you're learning alongside your child. You're able to do your own research, and really you know your child best. So you're able to tailor that to them. So don't feel like just because you don't have a degree in education that you're not qualified to teach. You know your child best. So you have a degree in your child. And I would say figure out what your values are. What do you value? What are you trying to instill in them? Is it the academics solely? Is it building a growth mindset and resilience and grit? All of these things, when you're going through education, you know, our kids need all of these skills, not just reading and writing. They need to be able to think critically, and they need to be able to pick themselves up when they fall down, and they need to be able to learn how to, how to entertain themselves if they're bored. You know, all of these things that our kids struggle with, they're all life skills. So we're not just teaching education, we're teaching executive functioning skills, and we're teaching social skills, and you're the one to shape them into, you know, the human that they're going to be. So I think a lot of times we can get caught up on the academics and I might not be able to teach this. I don't know how to, the pedagogy of it. But I think raising resilient kids who have a love of learning is just as important as making sure they read by a certain age, you know?
Oh, wow. I love everything you're saying because it's so encouraging and so uplifting. And so what's the very best piece of advice you would give right now to a homeschooler, a homeschool learner, like a child, a young person that's going to be homeschooled or is being homeschooled? What would you say to that child that would help them on their journey?
Ooh, I would say, be open and honest with your teacher, your parent, because this can be whatever you need it to be. So work together with your parent to figure out what you need to thrive, because you are involved in your education, your voice matters, and your parent is there to help you. So make sure that you are able to really communicate with your teacher and your parent on what you need, And don't be afraid to voice your opinion. And don't be afraid to tell them you need something different, or that you're excited to learn something else, or anything like that. Your opinion is valued, and learning is a journey. So if something does come hard, that's when we keep going. If we mess up, that's when we keep going. We learn from our mistakes, and it's a journey. So there is no final set destination. You're going to spend your entire life learning. Your parents are learning. Everyone around you, the grown-ups, the kids, we're all learning. So as long as you keep a positive mindset about your learning journey, don't get discouraged. Don't compare yourself to others. You're going to do great.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. One of the best pieces of advice I heard about that was to encourage learners that can write or draw pictures to write a weekly letter to their homeschool parents or caregivers.
Ooh, I love that.
Don't you? I really like that. You know, what did I like about this week? What didn't I like about this week? And then for us as homeschool parents and caregivers, we must respect what they say.
Right.
I mean, we have to listen. You know, I think math is going too fast. Well, then we have to then adjust. Or I don't like bats. I was consulting with a family this week whose child didn't want to learn about bats because he thinks they're scary. Well, and they asked me what to do about that. And I said, well, you know, as long as you're meeting your legal responsibilities in teaching, maybe bats will have to wait. You know,
Exactly. I think that's such a great idea to write letters. And I think it would be just as beneficial for the parent to write a short letter to the kid every week, too. Because I think a lot of times, well, I don't know, but I think it would be helpful just, you know, for the parent to write to them and maybe include what they found joyful about this week. You know, we want we don't want our kids to think that their education is a burden, you know, because it can be stressful and it can be, we as parents have so much going on, you know, and I think it's a great idea to take a little bit of time each week to write down what you loved about teaching them this week, what you were excited about for next week, how much you appreciate their openness and, you know, just writing some positive things about them to really encourage them and show them that this is a fun experience for you, and this isn't something that is, you know, this frustrating thing. Just focus on the joys, and even, you know, that could also be a great time to, if you have something that you want to say to your kid that maybe in the moment when you're both, you might be frustrated working, trying to figure out, you know, a certain subject or something, and you want to say to them but might not get through in the moment when they're, you know, struggling with it. How to bring that up in a positive way, too. I think that's a great idea to have, like, a weekly, it doesn't have to be long, like you said, even a picture that you could draw and describe with them and talk with them. I think that's a really great idea.
And I think, you know, we have an opportunity that a lot of other folks don't have. We can decide what we do and what works best for our homeschool and for our family. And so how, you know, if your child walked into science class in public school, and there's some wonderful public schools, and said, you know, I'm scared. I don't want to learn about bats. I'm not sure they'd change the entire curriculum. But we can listen. We can change. We can make adjustments. And this is beautiful and wonderful. So when I think about homeschooling, one of the things I think about is curriculum. How do we choose a good curriculum?
There's so many out there, and they all offer lots of different topics and styles of learning. I think for me as a parent, the one thing I would look at is how much prep time there is, because I think you could probably get burn out pretty quickly if you get this big, huge program and then you have so much work to do to make it come to fruition. So I think that depending on, you know, it's going to be different for every parent. How much time do you have and how much time do you want to spend on the prep of it? Some parents want just the print and go, or an online, you know, online class and go from there. Some parents want to be able to tailor it more to their style. So, and a lot of times you might pick some different curriculums and kind of make it your own too. So if you go with a curriculum and there are some parts that that you're not really into, that's once again the joy of homeschooling, is that you can tailor it. You can take parts out and you can add stuff, and you can even the curriculums that you purchase, you can change it to fit what you need and to fit your child as well. You know, things like that, when you're learning about baths, you can focus on birds and do a compare and contrast with that, you know, so they understand how they're different, but you're not focusing on all the things that scare them, you know. So they're still getting that vocabulary of nocturnal and all those things that you may be teaching them with that. Or you find a different animal that has the same characteristics and stuff, so you could still teach that. So there's lots of different ways to tailor each curriculum to what works for your family. But once again, go out on those communities and you're going to find lots of different opinions on what works. So just ask around, you know, use your resources, use the internet, use your community and ask them what works for them. Why did they like it? What did they not like about it? Because some things might be a deal breaker for you and it's not for them. So if you hear, oh, this took this amount of time, so it was hard, but we still went with it, even though, you know, okay, well, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for something else, so you know to stay away from that. Or this program had great phonics, but we didn't like the reading comprehension of it. Okay, well, then I'm looking for something that has everything encompassed, you know. So I would say definitely reach out to the community and ask questions. They're all very helpful, and they're all wanting to share their knowledge with you. So, you know, you can ask very specific questions on very specific things that you're looking for and probably get some great answers.
If you find out that a curriculum's not working for you, you started a curriculum, you thought, oh, wow, this is going to be a great curriculum, and I think it's wonderful. All right. And you find out, maybe not so much. There's always a hot curriculum. There's always a curriculum that everyone loves and that everybody thinks is just so great. But what do you do if you find yourself doing the wrong thing?
Stop. You change your course. Change your course. If you find something that doesn't work for you guys, you're not obligated to use it. So I would find out how you could modify it, how you can add to it, or just kind of ditch it and find something that works better. Even if it's mid-year, you're not tied to anything, to any one curriculum. If something's not working and you get to the middle of the year and decide that you don't want to go through another year of that because it was not serving you or your child, then you have the power to switch things up and start with something new.
I appreciate you saying that, because someone will need that later, not just about curricula, but also about schedules. Like, maybe you thought you would homeschool all afternoon, but you've got a morning learner. So now, you know, we can change. We can grow. We can adjust. So this is a wonderful thing that I think a lot of folks have to adjust to, especially when they first start homeschooling. They have to, give themselves permission to change things. You're not locked in. Right? A school district didn't buy a whole bunch of this curriculum and now you have to use it no matter what. You get to choose if this isn't working. If there's something that, as long as you're lining up with standards and the rules and regulations and the legal faculties of where you live, your residence, you have a lot of grace. You have a lot of ability to move and adjust and change and grow. And so I'm going to ask you, how do you know if homeschooling is working? Like, if what you're doing in your homeschool is successful for you and your learners?
Well, there's a few different ways. There's always assessments. To find out if they're actually picking up and retaining and really understanding what you're teaching them. There's lots of different assessments out there. But also, how's your day-to-day going? Are you guys waking up and you're both dreading what's ahead of you? Then it's not working. Are you waking up and you're excited to get started? Then, all right, you're on the right track. Because once you get in that kind of cycle of, well, it's not working. My kids not, you know, they're not, they don't want to learn. They don't want to. They're not receptive. We're fighting. Then you're in a rough spot, and that's when you want to reevaluate what's going on. But you know, there's lots of different assessment tools out there for you. There's even, you know, online, some of the online curriculums will have assessment tools. But I think just the academic assessments, you need to assess for yourself, what is the environment in your house like when you're, you know, on your day-to-day, because that's going to be the vast majority of if your child is willing to learn the academics, is what is the environment that they're learning it in. So I think that's a big thing. And then that goes back to their feedback too. You know, asking them, what do you think is working? What do you think is not working? And making it a collaborative effort between you and your child. Because, and you know, you may have two different kids who, or three different kids, however many you have, and they're all going to learn differently. One curriculum or method might not stick with the other. So it's going to be a trial and error for each kid. And don't feel like just because something worked on one child, it's going to work the same with the others. So I think it's a constant conversation and collaboration with you and your child to really hone in on what's working, what they're enjoying, what you're enjoying, and what you can both change to work to make it work better.
That's wonderful. That really is. And it's so encouraging. You know, one of the things I think is marvelous, just absolutely marvelous about Bold and Bright Academy is that you have allowed us to have a course that addresses a lot of these things. Happy homeschoolers. Mm-hmm. And I just mm-hmm. sent you new episodes, brand new ones, so today.
Perfect.
And this is wonderful because, you know, so often I think in homeschooling, folks think, well, I'll figure it out. And then they don't. Mm-hmm. Or it's really stressful figuring it out. When in community or in mentorship, you know, my granddaddy used to say there's two ways to learn things. You can make mistakes or you can have mentors. And mentors mm-hmm. are people who know what they really do know what you should do. Because
yeah.
they already did it
yeah.
or they know something about it. And so as we go to commercial, will you tell everyone how they can sign up for Bold and Bright Academy or be part of what you're doing there online?
Yes, you can visit our website at boldandbrightacademyonline.com to shop all of our classes and our programs. You can also, if you're, you know, on the fence or if you're just needing some help or advice, you can always email me at boldandbrightacademy@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to help you with any questions you have about homeschooling or about just anything you may be struggling with them. I'm always happy to help you know, help with any issues there. And if you're part of our program, you can always schedule a meeting and we can discuss, you know, any struggles that you're having, because I want to make sure that our parents are well equipped and confident in their abilities. And so we're always here to help. But if you're looking to get signed up for classes, you can go to boldandbrightacademyonline.com, and that has everything you need to know right there.
Perfect. All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
Can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcasts. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage. Scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs.
or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come, another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny. Or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Meet America's adults over 65. 70% of them have high blood pressure, and nearly 50% of those don't have it under control. Even with Medicare Part D coverage, about 5 million adults aren't taking their blood pressure medicines as directed. So why does that matter? Because high blood pressure is one of the leading causes of heart disease, stroke, kidney disease, and death in the United States. Along with healthy food choices and regular physical activity, blood pressure medicines reduce those risks, but only if prescriptions are filled in the first place. And 1 in 4 adults with Medicare Part D skip doses or stop taking their medicines altogether. Some are reluctant to treat a problem that often doesn't have symptoms. Others get confused over when to take which pills, or worry about cost or unwanted side effects. The thing is, heart disease, stroke, and kidney disease don't care about those factors. But you can take action. Ask questions about how to correctly take your medicine and why you need it. Keep track of your blood pressure between medical appointments with a home monitor. Coordinate pill refills for fewer trips to the pharmacy. And reduce confusion by using weekly pill boxes and tracking apps. It's easy to download free tip sheets and tools to help you or your loved ones take their blood pressure medicines on time and in the right amount. To learn more, visit millionhearts.hhs.gov.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Or... Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
I'm really enjoying this conversation because we're helping to prepare families for a new season of homeschooling. Whether you've already started homeschooling or you're a veteran homeschooler or you're just about to start, you're in the right place because our guest today is exactly the right person to advise and help and watch over your progress. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Yes, I'm Bethany Johnson. I'm the owner of Golden Bright Academy in Las Vegas and Golden Bright Academy Online, or online micro school.
I'm really glad you're here because I know right now our friends are feeling a sense of relief to get some help and some wisdom from you. All right, we need to think about homeschooling, I think, in all of our communities as an act of love, right? Mm-hmm. When I meet parents that are super overwhelmed and tired and frustrated, a lot of times it's their why. You know, they're homeschooling out of fear, for example, or kind of as a last resort. But when we start thinking about it as an act of love, I think that really restores the joy in homeschooling. I'm doing this because I love my learner, and I believe that this is best for my learner. I'm not going to tell everybody else what to do. They know what's best for their learner. But for me and my house, perhaps homeschooling is the best choice. And when we reframe it as a genuine act of love, just like buying Christmas presents or making a birthday cake, I think it takes a lot of the heaviness off it. You know, it takes a lot of the sense of, oh, wow, this is really big. Yes, it is. But we can do great things with great love. I really believe that. And so as you think about homeschooling, especially parents, you know, a new school year or getting ready, you know, what are some really practical things? Like one of the most helpful pieces of advice I ever got was to get organized now. Right, when the school year starts, it's not the time to start sorting markers and crayons and math manipulatives. You know, get it all organized now. So what can we do, like practical steps that will help us get started?
I mean, I think that's huge, is getting organized, because then you're not spending your evenings when you're exhausted from parenting and schooling all day trying to figure out what you're going to do tomorrow. I think setting a time maybe during the weekend or whatever works for you that you can prepare for the week. Just prepare your materials, what they're going to be, their lessons, any principles, anything you need, setting a time aside every week to kind of prep, kind of like meal prep. and just kind of getting it out of the way at one time, so you're not kind of rushing every night to get tomorrow's things together. I think that's very helpful. Making sure that you kind of, maybe since it is summer, if you're looking to start in the fall, setting like a, what am I trying to say? Like a soft schedule now. So they're prepared and they're kind of in that mindset where of, at this time, we're going to be doing this kind of activity and, you know, just so it's not, so you're not trying to throw a whole, everything about a new school year at them at once. So I think preparing your schedule and preparing your child for their new schedule is a good idea. The less things that they have to get used to at once, the better. So preparing both of your schedules, setting up, figuring out how you're going to deal with the social aspect of it. Because I know that is a concern that a lot of homeschool parents have, is how am I going to provide that social aspect to them that school offers that they won't have when if they're at home. And there's so many ways to do that, whether it's online classes or co-ops or, you know, play groups or just other classes, you know, dance class or whatever your child is into. Making sure that they have that outlet for them, the social outlet. And I think making sure you have some help and support set up for when it does get hard, whether that's a mentor or some other homeschool parents or, you know, a teacher, a tutor, anything that you think would help you when it inevitably you hit a roadblock, because we're all going to hit roadblocks, and how we deal with those roadblocks is really important, because we want to show our students that we can adapt and we have grit, and that's much easier when we have our village. So I think setting up a support system before you need it is really important.
Yes, absolutely wise. Thank you so much for that knowledge and insight. You know, another thing that someone shared with me once was, now is a good time to get your why and to prepare mm-hmm. your answers to questions that you may face. Like, don't wait till Thanksgiving mm-hmm. dinner and you're across from the relatives and the kin folks are like, hey, why aren't you putting them in school? mm-hmm. Actually, yeah. You know, stop and center. Why am I doing this? Why is this a good fit for our family? And what are we going to say to people who ask us about that? Like when someone says mm-hmm. to us, you know, why are you homeschooling? What, don't you think they'll have no socialization or social skills? We're going to get those answers organized, too, so that we're not mm-hmm. caught off guard, we're not offended, we're not hurt, we don't have to break relationships over it. We just have an answer, and we can keep moving. And that's part of preparing yeah. as well. And so let's talk about socialization. You know, that's probably the number one question that people will, you know, even though in most schools, honestly, it's not a nonstop social party. Right? It's sit at your desk and be quiet. Don't talk to your neighbor.
Even at lunchtime, they got 20 minutes to eat the whole lunch, not much time to socialize. Yeah.
Yeah. So really, it's not like we're sending them off to, you know, a party every day. But yet, people mm-hmm. often ask that question. Even families that believe in homeschooling have a slight fear that somehow their child will not be socialized and not have social skills. So will you help us think about socialization, please?
Yeah, I think it's really important when you are homeschooling to make sure that you're exposing your child to a diverse community outside of your home. I think a lot of, when I was homeschooled, we had our homeschool group, but it was very insular, and we weren't exposed to a lot of the outside world or different cultures or, you know, a lot of that stuff. So I think when you're trying to figure out what modes you want to use for socialization, make sure you're thinking about, you know, a diverse, just a broad spectrum of experiences and people that you can expose them to, because we want them to be, you know, diverse learners, and we want them to experience things that are outside of our own culture and experience. So I think that's a big one. There's tons of different online classes that you can choose from. You know, there's ours, just our students alone get to interact with kids from 3 or 4 or 5 different countries in one class. So find the program that works for you for socialization online. But there's also homeschool co-ops that you can meet in person. There's lots of different play groups in your area. Every area has tons of moms who are looking for things to do. So even if they're not homeschool play groups, you know, play groups wherever you can find them that fit your schedule and your philosophy and different things. There's, you know, even things like, I know there's nature classes, you know, there's so many different options out there for kids to get them socialized. And I think making sure that you're exposing them to a broad variety of activities and people is really key. Especially because they are, you know, because they're homeschooled, they're not going to be exposed to as many different cultures and things in from your home. So creating that space where they can experience people and things from outside of your own home is going to be really important for their, you know, global learning, if you want to call it that.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, that's a beautiful answer. You know, someone asked me recently what I thought were some of the most important traits or skills that would determine success as a homeschool family. And I said, I think flexibility is a big one. You know,
Yeah. If
you're not flexible, if you can't be flexible for whatever reason, if your learners are not flexible, homeschooling can be really hard for you. You know, you may have the curriculum, you may be ready and have all the math manipulatives and all the storybooks and everything, and then the power goes out or something happens. And if you're not able to be flexible, you know, that is something that I highly recommend you work on, you know, even if it means you're intentional about flexibility. You know, I know we always sit at the kitchen table, but once a week we're going to go sit in a different room. Just to practice being flexible. And then another trait that I think is really important, and I'm going to ask you what you think is important, is that we want to instill resilience in our learners.
Yes.
Right? I mean, okay, we didn't get it the first time. We didn't learn it the first time. Now we're going to try a different approach to it, but we're not going to just quit and give up, and we're not going to – we want resilience for life. We want resilience for always. We want to build that in so that no matter what life throws at our learners, when they're adults, when they have their own families, they are able to find ways to have meaning and purpose no matter what the circumstances. So I'd love to know what you think are some important traits and skills that make a homeschool successful and happy.
I mean, I think your answers would also be mine. The studies have shown that the biggest predictor of success later on in life from a kid is resilience. So I think building resilience, I mean, in all aspects, even if you weren't homeschooling, building resilience in your child is huge. And for yourself as well, how are you able to deal with disappointment and setbacks? And because you're going to be the one modeling that for them. So how you deal with hard times is how they're going to deal with hard times. So I think homeschooling involves a lot of introspection from the parent as well, because you're going to be learning right alongside them, and you need to be able to model how to, you know, how to have grit and resilience and flexibility as well, because that's huge. You know, the amount of times that I've had to be flexible when my plans, even for my businesses, didn't have changed, and I've just been able to kind of go with the flow. Has been, I mean, that's the only reason I even had my online program to begin with, is because the pandemic happened, and within a couple weeks, I switched to online and was able to build the program from there. It was not even my original plan to build online. I just didn't know if I was going to be able to open my local school, so I really quickly built an online school, you know. So flexibility is in every aspect of your life, not just homeschooling. I think flexibility and resilience are huge. But also compassion and understanding are two big things. And also, I think it's important that parents educate themselves on child development, because I think, I mean, even just in parenting without homeschooling, I always suggest this, because it will help you when you're frustrated and not understanding why something isn't working. It will help you to understand where they actually are developmentally, because I think we all want them to be somewhere, and the reality isn't always where they are because of actual brain chemistry and development, even though they might not be there, and understanding that, oh, their brain isn't developed enough yet quite, or they haven't learned the skill yet, instead of, you know, contributing it to malice or laziness or any other things that parents might get frustrated and think is happening with their kid. Most of the time, it's just developmental. And if we can have appropriate expectations of their development, that's going to help a lot. It's going to help in your frustration, and it's going to make sure that we're giving them appropriate content and having appropriate expectations of them. Because just because, you know, we want them to do something does not mean that their brains are ready for that. And it will help us understand what we need to, the skills we need to teach them to get their brains ready for that next step that you're trying to teach them.
Thank you so much for saying that. I needed to hear that, and I'm sure a lot of our friends who listen need to hear that. And I think we have to think about physical development too. Right? I mean, your child is struggling with handwriting, their muscles, their hands, their fine motor coordination just might not be ready. And
exactly.
I love what you're saying, because it gives us another way to look at our homeschool that we can adapt, improve based on these things, right? So a number doesn't mean the same thing to us. A school system may say, when you're 6 years old, you're in this particular grade doing this particular work. And yet we can adjust for children's gifts and talents, but we can also adjust for their struggles and their challenges.
Yeah.
And that is a wonderful gift. That's a wonderful gift to our children. Really wonderful. I would love it if you would take the mic and speak directly to families who are homeschooling, starting to homeschool. Give them a pep talk.
Ooh, okay, let's see. Dear families, you're about to embark on a incredible journey with your child. And I think this is the opportunity to build a strong bond with your kids, to grow yourself in so many aspects, and to prepare them for the world. So be patient, be kind, give yourself grace, give your child grace, work as a team, build your community, ask for help, and never stop learning, because you're both learning through all of this. So you got this. You got this, guys. There's always help out there. So please, please ask for help when you need it. Because we also want to teach our kids to ask for help when they need it. So model the behavior that you want to see in your children. And that takes a lot of introspection and self-reflection. So maybe when you're writing a letter to your kid, if you choose to do that, also write a little note to yourself, whether it's encouraging or something you want to remember for next week, or whether it's just a motto you want to, you know, say to yourself throughout the day to get you through, to remember. Take care of yourself, of your mental health. Guard your relationship and your safety, and ask for help, because we all need help.
Well, you certainly have given us a lot of help today. I mean, you have given us so much help. Oh, my goodness. I've learned so much from you today, and I know our friends who listen have as well. Is there anything you would like us to know about homeschooling that we haven't already touched on?
I think that just because you're their homeschooling parent does not mean that you need to be their only source of education. I think this goes to asking for help. I have a lot of students that I tutor now who are homeschoolers who are just, you know, they come to me because they're struggling in one aspect, whether it's social or academic, and their parents are just struggling. It's not sticking with the way they're teaching. So just having someone else explain it in a different way or just be someone that's not mom or dad is helpful. So don't feel like you're the only person who can teach them. You can always, you know, outsource things or ask for help. Or I know a lot of our parents, before they even started with me, they were part of a co-op community where the parents taught, you know, different classes. There's so many different ways that you can make this homeschooling thing work. So don't feel like it's all on you. There's so many resources, and don't be afraid to, even if you don't have something in your area, or to start that, because I guarantee you, if you're struggling with this, someone else is struggling with this as well. So, build the community you need if you can't find it. And I think that's what I got.
I'm really glad you said that. Thank you. We have so many opportunities. I mean, think about librarians. They love to help find resources and things like that. Community helpers love to help. We have co-ops, right? Co-op families. Oh, my goodness. Homeschool families love to talk about homeschooling. Love to help.
Yes,
homeschooling.
They do.
So we have so many choices and options for you to find help. And I know that this journey is wonderful, but part of the reason it's wonderful is because of the people and the community that you build and meet on it. And so I love what you just taught us, Miss Bethany, because, you know, we don't have to be the only voice in our children's heads. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be the only educational source. We don't have to know everything. We just have to find out who does. And so a program like yours, live classes, co-ops, libraries, friends, families, include the elders too. You'll be amazed at how they can bring your history to life and your social studies to life, right? You're teaching a unit on World War II, let's say, and you have a World War II veteran in the family, you know? That's just another dimension people bring to it. You know, when you're learning about different cultures and you're meeting people from those cultures and, bridge building and unity and love and all of those things can be part of our homeschool when we feel like we don't have to just do it all. You know, I have to know everything. I have to be an expert at everything. I can't ever make a mistake. And as we have talked today, one of the things I have really appreciated is your generosity of spirit. You are always willing to share what you know. You're willing to take time with people and be patient with people and help people along this homeschool journey. And so I want to make sure as we close that you tell us again, websites, email, whatever it is where folks can connect with you and be blessed by Bold and Bright Academy.
Absolutely. Our website is boldandbrightacademyonline.com. If you have any questions or ever need any help, you can email me at boldandbrightacademy@gmail.com. You can check out our socials on TikTok at boldandbrightlv, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube at Bold and Bright Academy. I think that's all of them. Yeah. I'm always open for questions and to help out. I love helping the parents as much as I love helping the students, so I'm always open.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thanks for spending this time with us today. I mean, I really have enjoyed it. I always enjoy talking with you and spending time with you. And I just want to say publicly, thank you so much for including us in Bold and Bright Academy. I teach the SEL course and story time and Happy Homeschoolers and hopefully even more wonderful classes. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for your trust in me, and thank you for believing in me and for making us part of this great program.
Oh, of course. You've been such a gift to the program, so thank you as well. And thank you for having me on. I always love coming on and talking and sharing with you.
I'm already looking forward to when you come back, because whenever you're here, I learn so much, and it really does help me grow and my walk as a homeschool family. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Of course. My pleasure.
Thank you to all of you who sponsor, who donate, who share, to all the platforms, to all the friends, to all the listeners. We love each and every one of you, and we appreciate you. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.